and welcome back to the Mighty Oaks podcast. This is episode 3 of our first season. My name is Miles Fabris. I'm your host. And once again, I'm joined by life member of the club and current chairman of selectors, Trent Shields. Welcome back.
Thank you, Miles. Always a pleasure. Just quickly, too, introducing my hat for today. This will be an ongoing segment. This one was produced by TNF and our good friend Mick Sheedy from Mount Waverley. It's a cap that was commissioned by Gary Iverson, another life member, and it's you'll see a few of these floating around. Nice design, but probably more socially rather than in a game.
That's good hat knowledge. Thank you, Trent. And before we start and I introduce our special guests, I just want to give a shout out to our community partner, Ray White Oakley, official sponsor of the Mighty Oaks podcast. So thank you to Ray White. And also shout out where you can find us on socials. You can find the podcast on our YouTube channel, Oakley Cricket Club. We also live stream matches on there. So please go on, have a watch, subscribe to the channel, give us a like. You can also listen on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Search Mighty Oaks Podcast. And follow us on Instagram and TikTok, Oakley Cricket Club. Now, let's get into it, really. Let's introduce, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see that our regular host, Matt Girolami, is not with us. He will be with us later on. But beforehand, we've got a very special guest. His name is Jeremy Devlin. He's a former Oak. Welcome to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Jez, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Miles. Absolute pleasure to be here. Always good to be back at the club with you guys.
So, yeah, it is. It's great to have you back around. Now, we are going to talk about why you're here, and you're here to promote the Run for Rob, a charity run for our great mate, Rob McCarthy. But before we get in, we wanted to talk about, just very quickly, your career at Oakley. And I've prepared some stats from your career. 58 first 11 matches, 489 runs in those matches at 19.46 average. Not bad.
Very happy with that, actually.
High score 66. And you're more of a bowler generally in your time. 73 wickets at 17.5. Best bowling of 5 for 20. And how many first 11 premierships?
Two first 11 premierships. One in... Trent will probably be better than me, but against Plenty Valley in...
10-11?
12-13.
12-13, that's what I was going to say. And the next one, the famous Elston Schnick game. That was
18-19,
I think. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, so Jez on an Oakley... Oakley legend, fair to say, two-time first 11 premiership player.
Second 11 premiership as well. I forgot that.
Bang. Thank you for pointing that out. Sorry, I didn't remember. But yeah, as I mentioned, we've got Jeremy on today to talk about the Run for Rob, which happened last weekend on Sunday down at Caulfield Park. The Run for Rob is about Rob McCarthy, who is also a former Oak, played a lot of cricket here at Oakley, and one of Jeremy's great mates, one of all of our great mates here at the club. You guys actually met playing juniors at Oakley, is that right?
Yeah, so I actually I played under 12 Mitchell Shield with yourself and Sam Riley, and you guys recruited me down to Oakley as a 12-year-old with big dreams and came here.
We poached you.
You poached me, yep, from Emmanuel South Oakley, actually. Played under 13s here. Rob was in that team, you were in that team, Sam was obviously in that team. And sort of friendship built from there, started playing footy together. Graduated to the seniors at Oakley, where we had lots of good times in this room and lots of good times at this club. And
lots of good memories.
End of season cricket trips and all sorts of things. So,
Maybe Mighty Oaks after dark one day.
we might get a run.
There's a few memories there.
Stories.
I've also got Rob's stats as well. He played 17 first 11 matches. He was an all-rounder, but more of a batsman. 247 runs at 16, high score of 45, and 10 wickets at 22. The best bowling of 3 for 15, but he probably did his best work in the T20s, where I know he was a premiership player and pretty much won us a T20 final with the ball.
Four for 11, maybe.
Joey Roberts, I think, stole the man of the match, which he told everyone for the next 5 years.
Out at Coburg against Plenty Valley.
Got Lorenzo out.
One of our five T20 titles.
Yeah.
Very, very famous night, that one, afterwards, too.
It was, yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
For a Tuesday.
And then, so we brought you in, Jez. You're obviously one of Rob's best mates and grew up playing cricket together here at Oakley. And that's even illustrated. I went back and looked up. Rob is first 11 player, 339. And you are first in player 341.
Yeah, that surprised me actually. I thought I might have just pipped him, but yeah, he obviously just got me.
Within yeah. two spots of each other. But now let's talk about the run for Rob. So please, excuse me, tell us how it came about, how it started. And I've lost. Apologies, I've lost my voice. It'll come back. I'll throw it to you, Jez. Tell us about the run.
No, that's all right. Obviously Rob, he had some mental health issues growing up, which we were all sort of aware of at the club. And yeah, he went through some really difficult times, especially as a teenager. Obviously, when he was up and going, he was one of the most fun people to ever be around, I'd say. And he's probably all the stories of him, after premierships and nights here, sort of never be forgotten. But he also went through some pretty bad lows as well. Unfortunately, he lost his battle with depression and took his own life in 2019. We did Movember before that as a way of sort of, showing support for, it wasn't really as big as it is now, but, showing support for mental health, especially men's mental health, and the stigma around sort of talking to each other and talking about our issues. Unfortunately, he took his own life, and we were doing Movember the next few years, and I had an idea just to try and step it up a notch. Rob is a personal trainer. He loved doing crazy sort of outdoor physical activities. So we thought, why not? Let's do a run, sort of one in memory of him, and two, he also was a big advocate for men's mental health. He would post his videos on Facebook where he would talk.
Never forget those nostrils.
Yeah, the flaring nostrils. Yeah. He would talk really openly about it and sort of go into detail about his journey and like stuff where no one's really gone before, sort of being on medication, what he does for his mental health, how social media affects your own mental health and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which again, I haven't really seen much of it sort of since as well. So,
you're right. I remember those videos as well. They were really, really powerful and really great.
Yeah. There's some great messages in there. Definitely, if you ever got time, watch a few of them. It's probably quite confronting if you knew him, but if you ever wanted to go watch him.
And so we talked about the run is happening once a year now in November.
Yeah, so back Movember. To the run. Yeah, back to the run. So I had an idea. Let's do a run. Rocket would have absolutely loved something like that, and he loves sort of, putting his mind to something. So, a few guys put out some. We'll do a marathon, we'll do 60K sort of thing. So the first year, we didn't really know if anyone wanted to run or anything like that, so we just kept it to sort of our close mates, and we would have had, sort of 15, 20 people sort of run. And they ran, a few people ran 60K, who sort of never run before, so that was quite interesting
amazing
to follow. Amazing effort, And then the next year after that, we threw it out to anyone who wanted to run, and we sort of didn't expect as many people as we thought we'd get. And last year we sort of would have had, 50 to 80 people. And then we just had our one on Sunday, and it's sort of grown quite a lot. Yeah, a lot bigger than we thought.
And not only here in Melbourne, you had it going internationally as well. I saw Rob's brother Dave is not in Melbourne at the moment. In the UK, he did his own run over in London.
To another OCC legend riding his bike behind him.
Connor Burns. Connor Burns. Supporting him.
Connor,
yeah.
Yes.
Saw that.
Connor spoke Burns. To him yesterday.
Yeah, so Dave did another 60K as well, which is, he drinks quite a lot of Guinness over there, I think, with Connor, and runs occasionally. So again, it's a massive effort
for
them. And then there was also saw another OCC, Lee Hodgson,
who did a run over in the UK. There was a group in Perth I saw doing the run for Rob as well.
McCarthy Cousin in Perth as
well.
So,
amazing.
Yeah, it's growing a lot more than we thought it would. I think we would have had 120, 150 people there on Sunday. So
amazing. And of course, the point of all this, not to only remember Rob, but to also raise money through Movember. And I see you've got the Run for Rob t-shirt on there with the great the logo there.
T-shirt and a few sponsors on the back. I won't turn around, but that's right.
You can plug in, that's fine. So it's part of Remember. Donations are still open, I believe, aren't they?
Yeah, so we've got an Instagram page. I think it's just run_for_Rob.
@run4Rob, with underscores.
Yeah, so the link is there. We're actually doing another order for t-shirts. I'm not sure when this is being posted, but you can, Matthew Norton just put an order in for 3 t-shirts as well. I think one's for Joey Roberts as well.
Beautiful,
fantastic.
So yeah, you can still donate, obviously. If you want a cap or a t-shirt or anything, then yeah, just message us and we'll sort you out, yeah.
And you yourself, did you run on the weekend?
Unfortunately not, no. Yeah,
I've set you up here because I know, unfortunately, you're injured.
But, yeah, I'm injured, unfortunately. So,
serving food and...
I was dishing out the t-shirts and the caps.
Beautiful.
And, making sure everyone was all organised. So.
And I love on the logo there at the bottom of the letter R. It's an RFR logo. There's a little rocket symbol. Rocket was Rob's nickname pretty much his whole life, I would have thought. He was definitely known as Rocket around here at Oakley Cricket Club.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think just like seeing all the people that came down, such a testament to the person Rob was and his family, Dave and Sally, and what an amazing, positive and welcoming and lovely family they are. So we wanted to, throw our support behind Run for Rob. Well done for organising it.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Appreciate
each week, each year. 3 years down, and I'm sure it'll be bigger and better than ever next year.
We'll go again next year and we'll have more t-shirts, more hats. We'll get Shieldsy in one and...
Yeah, you'll have to get one of the hats, Shieldsy. Yeah.
100%. Can I get one of mine with the Kevin Bartlett mullet?
Bad Monday Kevin Bartlett mullet. Yes.
The only player I've seen shave their head for a Mad Monday, I think, possibly.
I think it was after the grand final, Daniel Junkie just had clippers randomly and just said, "I'm shaving your head," and Rob was like, "Yep, let's do it."
That was a great memory. Run for Rob. We'll have links to donate in the description of this episode. We'll also post about it on our socials. Excuse me, I've been a little bit sick. Thanks, Jess. Thanks for telling us about it. Well done on the run. Good luck next year.
Thank you.
And if you can hang around a little bit, we're actually going to keep you around for a returning segment of our co-host, Trent's Top 5. So we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. And thanks to our major partner, Ray White Oakley, who have been helping our members with rentals, leasing, and buying and selling for many years. Thanks, Ray White Oakley, and thanks for listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Welcome back to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Thanks again to Ray White, our community partner. And it's time for our first recurring co-host segment, Trent's Top 5. Take it away, Trent.
Excellent. Thanks, Miles. And based on some feedback last time when I presented, there was a bit of flack that I copped about not ranking my top 5 in order.
Actually, I agree with that.
So this time, I have ranked them.
Good.
There will be a 5-1 countdown.
Get off the
especially
fence.
Here, I've needed to refer to my Bible.
The Roland Williams Bible?
Roland Williams Book of Stats here.
And
this is a legitimate
good.
Thing. This is also where Miles got his stats for Jeremy and Rob.
And also why you should watch us on YouTube, because you wouldn't know what's going on otherwise. Trent just pulled up a giant book of stats that Rolly keeps of all past and present players and their career statistics.
All the way back to 1949-50. The Oakley and Caulfield competition has been going on since 1949-50 in our first season in Subbies. Saturday, Sunday was the 50th time that we have met in that time, so that was a bit meritorious. An incredible game that we'll go into in a fair bit of detail, but it gave me the idea of putting together the top 5 clashes between Caulfield and Oakley in our storied history. So just some quick background on it. In those 50 games, there have been 4 draws. Oakley have won 19 and Caulfield have won 27. Oakley's highest score was 6-265 in the 69-70 season, a year we won the premiership. Caulfield's highest score was 338 in 17-18, our co-host here, Wolfie, was the second top scorer that day with 24.
Oh, nice.
I didn't check your bowling figures, though.
I don't think it was great.
I don't think any of them were particularly good that day. Oakley's lowest score was 49 in 1957-58, and Caulfield's lowest score was 46 in the 66-67 season.
We got him on that one.
Interestingly there, our greatest player of all time, who was the Don Bradman of subbies, Val Holton, took 6 for 16 that day.
What did Val bowl?
Val with the ball?
Just bowled some slow little nibblers.
Some deadly nibblers.
Nibblers, certainly on that day. All right, so we'll start off with number five. So number five was the 2014-15 semi-final. Oakley had finished on top that year and unfortunately had a very bad result against Malvern out here at the home of cricket, losing extremely badly. I think it was on day one. So we lost home ground advantage and had to travel over to Caulfield, which is an extremely difficult ground to play at. Caulfield batted first and made a good score of 193, which is hard to chase down there. The boundaries are long, the grass is very thick.
Pretty good score, Caulfield.
They often play the ground much better than opposition teams who go there. Chris Williamson took 2 for 21, and the great Spike Pinwell took 7 for 59 in a marathon effort there too.
How many overs do you have?
I don't have them, but it was over 30.
Over 30, wow.
Over 30, which is a stunning effort. Look, the next day, coming back and facing that, obviously the guys were keen to get stuck in there, but it's a momentous task. The Oaks started off okay, but then lost wickets pretty regularly. And Brent Warren, who actually signed with Caulfield before he came to Oakley. There's a bit of trivia for you. Only lasted for about 30 minutes because as soon as he had agreed to go to Caulfield, he realised he'd made a mistake and called them straight back and said, I'm going to go to Oakley. So that was fortuitous for us as he became a premiership skipper.
Yeah, I'm sure they loved that.
Sliding doors moment.
Yeah, wow. Well,
that happens.
Good choice, Raps.
And so the Oaks were 5 for under 100, a long way from home. Fortunately, we had the fantastic Brendan McGuinness still at the crease, and he had that steely resolve that he often had. He ended up with 83 not out and off about 200 balls, and Chris Williamson nice double with 31 not out, and we ended up passing them with a couple of overs to spare.
Nice.
Which was terrific. That one was probably marked down a little bit because we lost the grand final the next week. Coming in at number four. Now, if you can cast your memory back to the 1956-57 season in round 10. In mid-January. No, this was pre-Val.
Oh.
Caulfield batted first and made 119. Bob Anderson, who's one of the highest wicket takers in first 11 history, took 7 for 55.
Yeah,
Ron Munyard, who's one of only three homegrown 200 game players at Oakley and was the leading wicket taker in first 11 until Spike passed him recently, took 3 for 30, and in their second dig they made 141. The great Sam Blackburn, who our MVP award is named after, took 3 for 28, and his granddaughter Ellie Blackburn polled quite a number of votes at the AFLW awards last night.
Another fun fact.
Oakley in their first innings declared at 5 for 123 with Norm Bray 42 and Tom Rawlings 30 not out. And in the second dig, chasing just 94, we passed them 9 down with Norm Bray doubling up with a 22 and Fred White 19 not out. Now, another little touch of history here. Fred White is Peter Pedro Splatt's great uncle.
Oh, no way.
Oh, no, it might just be his actual uncle. We'll just go actual uncle. So, interestingly, he played in the first Oakley subbies game too in 49-50, along with Gordon Raymond, who is Glenda Splatt's father. So that was long time before those two got together. Their relatives played together in the first Oakley game. Family club, you say?
Mm.
Number three in our countdown, the 08-09 Grand Final. This was the third year of Jared Travaglia's very successful reign at the club. We'd come off two really disappointing and sort of heartbreaking semi-final losses when the Final Four was operating the two seasons before that. We finally managed to get through to the grand final courtesy of a rain-interrupted semi-final, which was called off when we were well on top, having made 200-odd and Box Hill were 4 for 20. So approached the grand final with a bit of freedom that we'd actually got over that hump of the semi-final. We batted first on a nice Saturday here. Julian Hay, who's Ben Drew Life member. It's his brother-in-law. Made 121 in his first season for the club.
Yes, I remember this game now.
JT made 62, and Simon Street made 44. It was a great score, but look, always in a grand final, out on a good batting deck here, you're never too sure. The next day, Caulfield batted quite well. Jim Haviland, who's been a long-time star at Subbies, made 90-odd. They made 218, so we ended up winning reasonably comfortably, but it was never sort of assured because of what had happened in the past few seasons until that last catch was taken, which, if I remember correctly, it might have been Spike off Barry, caught it mid-on, and Baz Ensel ended up with 3 for 57, Spike 3 for 59, and Travi with 2 for 38 with his tear-away left-arm spinners.
That was a good team, that one. Very good team.
Very good side. Very good side. Number two. The 18-19 season in the preliminary final. An unusual sort of a finals series where Caulfield finished on top and lost to Elsternwick in the first round.
We're on here, Jez.
And lost the home ground advantage. So we got to host Caulfield in a knockout game. We hadn't had a great record against Caulfield recently. And actually, it's probably a good time to bring this one up too. Oakley and Caulfield play for the Travaglia Richardson Shield, Sean Richardson being a great of the Caulfield Cricket Club, and obviously JT being a legend of Oakley. The first one on here, the 18-19 win was Oakley, so that's fantastic.
Beautiful.
Oakley batted first, were in a fair bit of trouble, losing some wickets early on. BJ, as he normally did, was the anchor that held us together, making a classic 51, a dogged 51. We got some really strong support through the middle order there with Jex Mick Splatt making 46, including some lusty blows. And Shane Townsend made 47 and batted through pretty much the whole innings. Our co-host today here too, the Wolf, Jeremy Devlin, made 15 off 27 with no boundaries. So
yeah, that's not bad.
Good percentage play out here at Oakley too. Yeah,
just slice them and dice them away, no boundaries. Pretty normal.
Runs per meter.
Yeah, that's
index,
right.
The runs per meter index would have been high, I imagine.
And a few more than I made.
Oh, I haven't got your numbers there though, Miles, but I do have something for you.
Don't know if I bothered the scorers, to be honest.
Caulfield were all out ultimately for 163, but it was never in hand as Graham Rummins made a spectacular 100 and held them together. While he was out there, obviously the game was still very much on, even though he was pretty much a sole contributor.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going.
Mick Splatt took 3 for 37. Alex Jones took 3 for 49. Jez took 2 for 31.
Yes,
and Towney took 2 for 23 with what could probably best be described as innocuous off breaks that didn't bounce or spin too much.
Incredibly nude.
In other words, two half trackers that were caught right on the boundary.
Yeah. Two half trackers that were caught.
we got lucky there.
Now, Jez, your two wickets there were actually taken at pretty important moments. So the first wicket that you got was Anthony caught by Mick Splatt with the score at 3 for 49, I assume at second slip.
That was almost a waist high full toss that he bunted to mid on. So
perfect.
Thanks for that one.
Just like we drew it up.
And the second wicket you took was when they'd gotten a little bit of a partnership as well and gotten to 7 for 159 within sight of the winning score with two reasonable bats still at the crease, and that was Campbell caught by Miles Fabris.
Hey, come on.
Yeah, I don't remember that one, so got nothing for you.
But it probably wasn't a waist high full toss.
I hope I used the facilities.
A classic Nick, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And Milo, you actually ended up with 5 catches that day too.
Yes, and I think I took the catch that won the game as well, which was Rummins on 110 or something.
I think he made. Yeah.
But I'll always remember that as the Townie, the Shane Townsend Townie game, making almost 50,
yep,
and then taking those two crucial wickets in the middle.
Incredible clubman too, Townie was. It was a real shame that
good finals player as well.
He had to leave us and got the call from the mining bug. But he was great, and that was terrific reward for the effort that he put in over a long period of time with the club. Coming in at number one is the 2015-16 grand final. which was held out here at the home of cricket again. Just a quick little fun story from beforehand. The weather on the Friday was shocking. It looked like the weekend was going to be washed out. There was no chance of playing. There was a call to arms from our curator, Kenny, at about 6 a.m. on the Friday morning saying that the covers had blown off.
Oh, no.
And this was when we had to have two sets of covers. So we had to borrow a set of covers to cover the whole table. We had the hard rubber bowling mats down the middle to try and hold it down. And there was a gale force breeze blowing.
Oh, boy.
The covers were all over the place. About five people rocked up at that time. I happened to be awake and not too far away. So raced down along with John Roberts, father of Joey and Paddy, who are our great players here, and Steve Pinwall, Spike's dad. And another guy who came walking in from the Drummond Street end, who looked very familiar to me, probably because he played 70-odd AFL games, Sam Dwyer.
Just randomly joined for the covers, did he?
He worked for Toby Pinwall at the time, and he brought a little bit of muscle and some traffic management cones that could weight down a little bit better than the rubber mats.
Sounds like you need it with that other group that you mentioned.
So we are, so we eventually got the covers back on. There wasn't too much damage to the pitch, and the Saturday and Sunday were beautiful days. We batted first and made 8 for 221, which was a nice score. You take that in the grand final every time.
Yep.
Mr. Consistency, BJ again with 62.
He's featured heavily in this top five.
He has, he has. It'd probably be hard not to feature him in our greatest moments in history. Such was his ability. Mick Allen, Tricky Allen, made 54 in his only season for the club. A legend of sub-district cricket, primarily at Melton. But he was coerced to have one final season in the sun with his good mate JT.
Worth it.
That worked out very well. And Mick Splatt made 41 not out again too. Obviously, cream rises to the top there, and JT made 30. On day two, we actually were on top, really well on top early on, and had them 3 for 20 with the dangerous Rick Damiano back in the sheds as well too. But Caulfield, found a couple of guys who were willing to stick around. This, I think it was Jake Thorne's first season. And he's obviously a tremendous player and put on a batting masterclass that day. Sadly, that's happened a couple of times in grand finals here. He found a very welcome ally in Lee Baldry, who also batted really well, and they progressed through to after tea. But we ultimately started taking some wickets, and the pressure started building, and Mick Splatt ended up 2 for 22, Spike 2 for 44. And then there were some calamitous runouts at the end that sort of got us the chocolates. AJ got Thorn out, playing a sort of an edged glance down the offside. Junks took a spectacular one-handed catch, doing a cartwheel in the time. He also may have broken the 100-metre speed record by running out the batsman at the bowler's end after the two batters ended up at the same end. And the last wicket was also a run out too, with a poorly thought out second coming back from square leg, which brought about some jubilant scenes with all the rest of the club streaming onto the ground. And we've got some great vision of that
too.
Me
included.
Yes.
Yep.
I think I was still crying over in the cemetery because it all got a bit too much for me, but I made up for that later on. So that's our top five.
That's the top five. Give us a very quick recap, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So number five was?
Number five was the 14-15 semi-final, winning at Caulfield.
Number four?
With BJ making a big score, 56-57, in a four-innings game where we won with one wicket in hand.
Good memories of that one.
08-09 grand final, after a couple of years of hard luck, Julian Hay won 20. The 18-19 preliminary final, Townies match. And the 15-16 grand final, with two heavyweights going toe-to-toe.
Great. Thanks very much, Trent. That was Trent's top five Oakley victories against Caulfield. And we'll eagerly await the return of Trent's top five next time you're co-hosting the show. Now, before we move on with the match results and summaries of round five and six of the VSTCA season, we'll say goodbye to our very special guest, Jez. Thank you so much for coming on. Jez, it's great to have you back around the club. Well done on Run for Rob. And maybe, is there anything, any lasting message you want to leave with us about the run, or let us know where we can donate and that kind of thing?
So obviously Movember page, Run for Rob. Quite easy to donate. Click on our link through our Instagram. And we're just trying to promote men's mental health and run for in memory of our great mate who played quite a lot of years at this club. So, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Jeb. Jez, well done. Run for Rob. We'll put all the links. We'll have the links ready to go. So thanks again.
Thanks, mate. Guys.
Welcome back again to the Mighty Oaks podcast, episode 3. In the second half of today's episode, we're going to be going through the match results and summaries of round 5 and 6. Trent is still with me here. Hello again, Trent. Thank you again to Jeremy for joining us. He has headed out, and we're joined once again by our regular Matt Girolami.
Yeah, got it. I'm back.
Welcome back. Okay, so let's get stuck into the results. So we'll start with the first 11. Round 5, they played Bayswater at home in a one-day game. Oakley bat first, post a very good total of 5 for 211. And a big congratulations to Nathan Harford, who scored his first century for the club. 109 not out of 134 balls. Open the batting.
He did open the batting as well. And considering the size of this ground, which is bigger than the MCG, he only hit 6 boundaries. So he did a lot of running.
100, yeah. So great innings.
Yeah, rumour has it he barbecued PSO though. So had to repay.
But you know what? He made 100 not out. So I think he made up for it.
Yeah, he made up for it.
Absolutely.
We also had contributions from Sam Jones, who made 47. So 211, a really good score on the board. And then did it pretty easily in the end, bowling Bayswater out for 101. Ben Fletcher, 3 for 20, pick of the bowlers, 3 for 20 off 7 overs. We also had Matt Grace, Josh Peak and Ryan Pearson with 2 wickets each. And a nice early finish, all out 101.
Absolutely, yeah. Probably the first complete performance by the Ones this season so far. They had a good win against Mount the week before, but this was a real step up from that. The team starting to gel.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was their second win in a row. They then moved on to round 6 against Caulfield, which just happened this past weekend, which was a two-day game, but it was a Saturday-Sunday game, so it happened across one weekend. In this game, we congratulate Ange Srivastava on his first 11 debut for the club, player number 393. So congratulations, Ange, after a brilliant 98 the week before in the twos, which we'll get into very shortly. But going to face Caulfield at Caulfield, as we've just heard in your top five segment, one of the tougher road trips in this competition. Apologies again. Anyway, so day one, Oaks sent into bat and looking in big, big trouble at 8 for 62 with some... some good bowling, I think, fair to say, from the Caulfield team.
Caulfield's pace battery were well on top, finding good areas and just bowling some good disciplined cricket, making us play when we probably shouldn't have been, other than half.
Yeah, well, and then, 8 for 62. But then it was our coach, Matthew Grace, and number 10, Josh Peak, who gritted it out, toughed out a partnership together. Gracie just batted beautifully. I was unwell on the weekend. I watched most of this on the Frogbox stream. Just gritty, tough, absorbed pressure, left the ball really well. Really, you know, set an example of what it was like to bat in a two-day game and grit out those runs. And then he ended up making 62 and we ended up posting 131 all out. Shout out to Peaky as well, who made 10 off 49 balls. And also Ben Fletcher, who I think made zero, but faced...
yeah, 25
mid,
balls.
Mid-20 balls, yeah.
Yeah. And it was really good to watch, actually, when we did lose that ninth wicket. Great. They obviously had a plan. Gracie started playing a lot more shots. Fletch just held up his end. And to go from 8 for 62 to post 131 was a big momentum swing. And 131, it's not a big score, but it's something. It's something to bowl at Caulfield. So,
And incredible how often those few extra runs that you can scrounge at the end of an innings become very important at the end of the game.
And even, obviously, for the scoring of them, but just the momentum as well. One team heavily on top and you fight back and you get back in the game.
Yep.
So Oaks would have gone into the bowling innings feeling pretty good. With a bit of momentum, had to bowl... 10-ish overs, 15-ish overs on the first night. Took one wicket, which was Matt Grace again, so he had a pretty good day. And Caulfield went to stumps about 1 for 20.
With their talisman Jake Thorne at the crease, though, who hadn't played the couple of games before that.
Mm. And maybe I'll throw to you, Trent. Tell us what happened on day two.
Absolutely. So day two, look, it probably wasn't evenly poised. Caulfield would have thought that they could reel in
still in the box seat.
Could have reeled in that total. There was a little bit more weather around, so the conditions weren't terrible to bowl in if we bowled in the right areas, and that's how it sort of turned out early on. Jeff Latham, the big man, started things off, catching an edge and getting a wicket, and wickets sort of steadily fell. Josh Peake found his range and was causing some real havoc, and Caulfield were in strife. They were losing wickets quite consistently, which was great. And suddenly the sort of mood changed, and it became Caulfield were a little bit sort of skittish, whereas Oakley were right on top of their game.
They're nervous, we're calm.
Yes, very much so. Thank you, AJ. And if not for a couple of drop catches, it could have been over a bit earlier. But as is sort of our history, particularly in games between these two, there are rarely blowouts, and they often go right down to the wire. And so it occurred here as well too. We had them 9 for... do we have the number there? But it was,
I think it was 9 for 80.
Yeah, yep. 9 for 82.
Yeah, and looking pretty good. But the two tail enders for Caulfield are both experienced cricketers, Hayes and King, and they threw caution to the wind. And started throwing the willow at anything that was not quite in the right spot, and making a few runs. And suddenly they sort of crawled back, and they were hitting 3 or 4 and over, and then a couple of overs of 8 or 10 or, yep, or whatever. And everything started to get a little bit more nervous.
Was getting a bit nervous, yep.
But ultimately, in cricket, you just need to take that one last wicket. And so it turned out with Peakey catching the edge again and James Ritchie comfortably accepting the catch, and with jubilous scenes, and we won back the famous Travaglia Richardson Shield.
Yeah, so ended up bowling them out for 118, and Josh Peake with a phenomenal performance, 6 for 41 off 16.5 overs, really won us the match. So well done, Peakey. And also shout out to Ryan Pearson, who also took a couple. But yeah, such a great win for the club, for the team. That puts them 3 wins in a row now in the first 11, an overall record of 3 wins, 3 losses, and
two losses and a tie.
Oh yes, of course. So puts them in the positive, and starting to climb up the ladder. So yeah.
And I think we're currently 8th, but we're only half a game out of 4th. So
nice.
Yeah, so obviously important games to come starting before
to
Christmas.
Gel. And starting to move their way up the ladder. So well done to the first 2 wins in the last 2 games. Now we move on to the second 11. Like the first, round 5, they played against Bayswater away. I played in this game, returning from a hamstring injury, finally.
And there was another late change in the game too, with a returning Will Taylor whisked.
Yes.
Over to the ones to cover for a late out there.
Yeah, we had won the toss. The plan was for me to bat at 3 and Will to bat at 4. So we had been doing throwdowns. We walked into the change rooms together, started getting our kit on, and Stampsy came in and said, "Will, you're at the ones. Go." And it was very rough, very sudden. But he just had to pack up and get in the car and drive to the ones.
Sounds a lot nicer than what he said to me when he called me next, but...
Yeah, I'm sure that was a fun few hours for you, Trent.
Look, Oakley batted first. Beautiful ground, Bayswater, to bat on as well, too. Quite picturesque at the foot of the mountains. Anchi, as mentioned, made his first 11 debut on the back of a 98 off 124 balls.
Opened the batting.
And probably had had the century in his sights, but hold out, doing sort of the selfless act. Trying to accelerate the run rate at the end there.
Yeah, was a bit of a shame. But
Manny King, Miles and Jimmy Benn all made 20-odd to sort of support that. And look, a score of 200 looked good, but it is gettable at Baysie as well too,
it was
fast outfield that sort of slopes away, and it can be hard to defend when the batters get on top.
And quite a flat wicket, good to bat on. Ball was coming onto the bat nicely. It was keeping a little bit low at times, but, you know, skidding on, nice to bat on, good for scoring runs. Yeah, so we ended at 6 for 198, which was probably a little bit short of where we were thinking we would end up with 10 overs to go. No one else could really get going other than Anch, who got 98. And then it was to the bowling innings, and Bayswater started off quite slow. We bowled quite well, but we didn't take many wickets. So we always thought that they had, you know, they had wickets in the sheds and were going to accelerate at some point. Probably fair to say they left that acceleration just a little bit too late, but a lot of credit goes to Nick Thurgood, who came on in probably the 34th over, hadn't bowled, and ended up taking 5 for 28 off 6 overs, completely turned the game, completely shut them out, and then I think they needed about... We won by 8 runs in the end. They ended 190 for 7, but they needed about 25 off the last over. So well done to Turtle, Nick Thurgood, on his fifer, and a really hard-fought, gritty win from the twos.
Apparently a very neat stumping was in that fifer as well, too.
There was a stumping, yeah. Thanks. So moving on to round 6 for the twos. Now we move through this one pretty quickly, because unfortunately this was a pretty horror loss for the twos. Like the first 11 had a Saturday-Sunday two-day game on the weekend here at Oakley, on a wicket that had a little bit in it from reports, but definitely didn't bat very well. Oaks batted first, all out for 48. No batsman scored in the double figures. So a pretty ordinary day for the twos there. Caulfield slowly worked their way to 3 for 64 by the end of day one, so already had first innings points. Shout out to Tom Eisen, probably the pick of the bowlers again. 2 for 12 off 10 overs with, I think, 5 maidens in there. So
having a terrific start to the season, old ISO.
Pretty handy spell. And then arrived on day two after a bit of rain overnight and didn't play at all on Sunday.
No, three overs.
Oh,
yep. 3 overs they got on, but then it started raining again and... The game was already over. The wicket was wet, and the captains and the umpires decided to shake hands and not risk any injuries.
Okay, so the twos lose that game. That puts them 4 wins, 2 losses overall. So still in a pretty good position, sitting third on the ladder. So well done to the twos. Moving on to the third 11 in round 5, they played Croydon in a one-day game and had an incredibly close win off the last ball. Matt, do you want to take us through that third 11 game?
Yeah, can do. So Oakley batted first, and Dimesh carried his bat through the whole innings, sort of anchored their innings for him.
Captaining that day as well,
yeah,
Dimesh.
Captaining, with Ant still out of the team. So 74 not out for Dimesh, and supported by big name, batting at 6, I believe. Sam Iverson, promotion up the order, and justified that selection call with a really nice 39 off 40 deliveries. In the end, that meant that they ended up with 8 for 190. And then a bit of a story here, about 3 overs into their fielding innings, Dimesh unfortunately had done a fair bit of work with the bat and meant that he was cramping up while behind the stumps.
He did face 127 balls.
Yes, so big effort, but it meant that Dion ended up behind the stumps. And
the last time he forgets his salt tablets as well, too.
Yeah, definitely, or the pickle juice, one or the other. and it ended up with Ben Salmon and KP Pierce Kidson-Purry taking over the captaincy reins, as they would like to tell everyone when they got back to the club for beer pong that night. Worked really well in a tandem. To keep Croydon to 7 for 189, with Fateh being the pick of the bowlers, 2 for 10 off his 6 overs, and meant that they had a one-run victory.
I think it was down to three needed off the last ball, or four off the last ball?
Max Getley was bowling the last over, yep. So nerves are still. What on Max? Got us the one-run win.
Yeah, been dropped out of the twos after... A rough sort of first month, but he's really come back into form with that. His figures probably weren't the greatest to look at, but it was his effort with the ball in that last sort of 5 overs where... Led the attack in that last little bit that sort of really made it count.
Give him some good confidence to go on with.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely did for the next round, which was against Brighton at Dendy Park,
we'll just go on to the fours.
Yeah. Well, we're in a bit of a strange situation here with the subbies where... the ones and twos have completed 6 rounds, but the threes and fours are halfway through round 6. So we'll talk about their round 6 game in the next episode. But the threes did bat and they made 318, and they'll be defending that this week against Brighton. So good luck to them.
Who knows, there might be a top five segment on calamitous fixturing at some stage, which is sure to rank highly.
This would be up there, for sure.
And making the chairman of selectors role very difficult, I'm sure.
The size says it all.
Yeah, it does say it all. Anyway.
So Matt, we've got Croydon at home at Scammell.
Fourth 11.
For the fours. So I think that was as dominating of a performance I've sort of been involved in.
This was
in.
A big win for the fours.
Yeah. I think Croydon had struggled with some numbers. They'd only had nine selected on the Friday night. And just quite clear that they had a few fill-ins on the Saturday morning during the warm-up. But it still needed to go out there and get the job done, and it was led by Craig Johnson. I mean, look, at if you see him on Play Cricket, his figures, 5 for 4 off his 7 overs with 4 maidens.
Yeah, they are ridiculous figures.
We won't talk about the 4 byes that somehow got let through by the keeper. We're not looking at anyone in particular.
Yeah, look, I was at that game too as well too, and obviously great seeing Jono back at the club this year as well too, as a life member over a very long period of time, and bowling well. But it was really set up by a couple of the young guys too. So Finton, Raystreak bowled a really good spell with a fair bit of heat. Took two really nice wickets, bowling full and at the stumps. And Raza Surendran, returning to the club too after 18 months studying, came back and took a wicket as well too. Look, he's a class cricketer who probably won't play too many more games at fourth 11 level.
No. Yeah. And then that meant that we only had the 66 to chase. It was a pretty easy chase with Andrew Donoghue making 26 off his 27 to be not out at the end of the day. We're done by about 4 o'clock, which meant I could get back here for the ones to see their domination over Bayswater, which was really nice. Yeah. And similar to the threes, we're currently playing Brighton as well at Scammell Reserve, and we're faced with chasing 240 this weekend.
Yeah, so just want to quickly go back over those bowling figures from Craig Johnson, the skipper of the fours, 5 for 4 off 7 overs with 4 maidens. We actually did an interview with Craig that day. You did, Matt, which is on our Instagram page, on our social media. We've also got a chat with Nathan Harford after he scored 100 in the first 11, and Nick Thurgood, who took 5 in the second 11, all in our socials, so go and check those out. And the other important thing about this round 5 win by the fours was that it completed our first Oaks Day of the season, where all 4 senior teams won on the same day. So that was excellent, especially given that was the beer pong night.
Well, set us up in a really good mood for that night. I think the vibes were high, the ones were getting us started after their victory, and slowly everyone filtered in. We're all pretty hyped and ready to go.
And just to let our listeners know too, an Oaks Day means a free splatty meal deal on the following Thursday night.
And as we know from Jeff's segment last week,
that is very hot.
That is hot. Okay, so good luck to the fours this week. They'll be, as you said, Matt, chasing 239 from Brighton. So wish them all the best. Moving on to the fifth 11, who, as we know, play on Sundays and play only one day games. They played round 7 and round 8. In round 7, they played the CUCC Kings Turf 2, but unfortunately had a loss. CUCC made 6 for 268. Best bowling was Matt Johnson, 2 for 9 off 4, and the Oaks managed 9 for 118, so a bit of a heavy loss there, but well done to Carlos Wakefield, who got 26, and Ryan, who top scored with 32.
Yeah, just struggling a little bit, just due to the injury pandemic at the moment, in getting sort of some players into the fifths who are able to contribute a little bit more. On the plus side, we're blooding some young guys, getting an opportunity for some of our under-15s to play senior cricket.
Awesome.
Yeah, but hopefully in the next couple of weeks we can put a bit of experience beside them so that they can get a better game out of it as well too, and hopefully develop quickly.
Absolutely. And moving on to round 8, they played Heatherton. Heatherton batted first, were 194 all out. And the Oaks were all out 127, so unfortunately another loss for the fives there.
Yeah. Raz completed his 10 for the weekend, taking 3 for 9 after his 7 for effort on Saturday. Now, we also had a debutante, I believe.
We did, yes.
Seb Trent
Yeah, Sebastian Trent, who was a late call up on the Friday, heard our call to arms and came. He plays in the Friday under 15 team.
Nice.
And he played and was very excited to play his first game, and took a hat trick. So
yeah, he played very well.
That'll be certainly one to remember. A nice thing about a nice little alignment with Seb is too that he plays at Oakley Cricket Club, obviously, and his sister plays netball at Oakley Netball Club.
Beautiful.
So we're looking to do a little bit of a feature piece on those two and about the alignment of the club in the next couple of weeks. That,
nice.
So
stay tuned. Watch your eyes out. And do we know what the hat trick was in terms of types of wickets?
The final one was bowled, which was across two overs.
Yeah.
So it was your classic Courtney Walsh from the 88-89 season style one.
Yes.
That classic one. And I think that it wasn't captured on camera because people had forgotten because it was across overs.
It was a hat trick ball.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a shame. But it's always in the scorebook and it's there forever. So 100%. Well done, young Seb.
Well done, Seb.
He'll get his trophy.
Join an illustrious list forever of hat trick takers at the Oakley Cricket Club.
Could have been me, but I dropped my own hat trick ball in under 13. So
Oh, you didn't.
We won't go into that too much detail. But yeah, there you go.
At least. Is that better than someone else dropping it? Probably not.
No.
Anyway.
No. Considering the soda it was, no. The bat, we had Carlos Wakefield make 15 and Harry Cashman with 14 as well.
Yeah. Six guys in the teams man. Needed someone to go on and make that 50. But, yeah, look, it was a more competitive effort with a better side this week. It was a bit of a shame that we probably didn't finish off the bowling innings a little bit better because we had them in a fair bit of trouble. They got away a little bit at the end and probably added an extra 40 or 50 runs that they probably shouldn't have got.
Okay. Well, and that was the fifth 11 wrap. And that brings us more or less to the end of episode 3 of the Mighty Oaks podcast. But we did want to touch on the social event that we had. We talked about it last episode, the annual beer pong and karaoke night, which we just mentioned we had two Saturdays ago on the back of an Oaks day that day. Here in the club rooms, we had a big beer pong tournament. Tell us a little bit about the night, Matt. How'd it go?
Yeah, really good. I believe we had 29 teams participate on the night, so that was a huge effort.
That's a large bracket.
Yeah, very, very large bracket. We'll say congrats to Matt Grace and his partner Amy, although I believe that was a very big one-man team with Amy sinking.
Amy carried.
Every single one of the first three games. So not only did they rock up late, with going straight to the knockouts, so that's a bit of a perk of being coach, I guess. But Amy having to sink every single cup until I think Gracie's first one was the third last cup in the grand final was his first cup for the night.
You're kidding. Well done.
I will say Team Amy. Partner. Yeah, I know.
Good strategy.
Very good strategy. We'll say Team Amy won that beer pong tournament.
He's had a big couple of weeks, Gracie.
Yeah, very big couple of weeks. Dressed as Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper.
That was a very good
photo
costume.
Of the champion team.
Yeah.
I was waiting for someone to play that song. But anyway, congratulations to them on winning. How did you go, gentlemen? How'd your team go, Matt? Barbie and Ken?
Yeah, Barbie and Ken with my partner, Holly. We went all right. We were beaten half we're playing JR and... Oh, gee, who were we? Whoever JR was partnered with escapes mind. Mm. Bean, that's right. Jimmy Ben. We were four cups to one up at one point and choked that and lost, unfortunately. And then played Nick Thurgood and Scotty, who is the Oakley District's Resi's coach, and were 4-1 down to them and came back nearly won, but unfortunately went down in that game as well.
So two losses.
Yeah, okay. No, I tried to not say that.
How did you go?
I played with Chaps. And we came dressed as grunge fans from the 90s, back when we used to use two thumbs to text.
Fresh with eye makeup.
On our Blackberries. I always wear black makeup on my eyes. Just really lets them pop.
It did.
Unfortunately, we lost our first round match against Luke Rhodes and the one-armed bandit Geordie Brambleby by one cup.
Yep.
And then in the second round against Jack and Lizzie, we won by six cups. So we were probably unlucky losers. If there was an opportunity to go through on percentage. But look, to be honest, I enjoy everyone else enjoying beer pong, but I'm happy enough just to sit around and
observe.
Oh, geez, Jack had a rough day.
Sit around and drink without having to fish a ping pong ball out of my cup.
Beer cup.
Yeah. Gee, Jack had a rough day. Not only did he lose that, he also went out for a golden that day. So I don't think that was his greatest day, but that's all right. Shout out Jack Draper. He's had plenty of good days in Oaks gear, so he's allowed to have a bad one, we'll say.
And well, you guys didn't ask, but I partnered with Matt Stamps. We won both of our group games.
The Gentleman.
And then, yes, we were dressed as gangsters from The Gentleman, the film with Matthew McConaughey. Great film. Check it out. But we also lost to Luke Rhodes and Jordan Brambleby in the first knockout round. And Luke Rhodes definitely carried that team. I don't know, maybe it was Jordan's shoulder, but he did not sink a single cup. So shout out, Jordy. They also bought back in on the auction to get back into the semi-final later in the night and lost the final. So they had an expensive but not very successful night. So sorry, guys.
No, it's a fundraiser, and I'm sure they had fun.
Raising
less funds. But yeah, it was a great night. We with the beer pong tournament. We'll put up a couple of photos over the YouTube video now. Congrats again to Matt Grace and his partner Amy for winning. Then we did a bit of karaoke, which was a bit of fun, and the night was a real success. Hopefully raised a lot of money for the club.
Any budding Australian idols?
Who was best on the karaoke? I remember... Well, Ben Salmon and Tom Eisen had a fair crack at it.
Yeah.
Nick Thurgood was pretty good. Turtle. From my memory, that's who I would give the karaoke votes to on the night.
Did Latho pull out the Proclaimers again?
Oh, no.
He must have. I can't think of it right now. Maybe I was out of the room, but he must have. He talked it up so much, so... Well done, Jeff.
Top five karaoke performances at Oakley Cricket Club might be a fun one.
That would be an interesting one.
Yeah, memorable performances.
Yeah,
wasn't me, Ben Hogan would have to be a contender.
Oh, that was, yes, Shaggy wasn't me. That was outstanding. Well done, Ben Hogan. Shout out to you if you're watching or listening. But that brings us to the end of the episode. Gents, thanks once again, Trent and Matt, for joining me on the Mighty Oaks podcast. Before we wrap up, a big thank you again to Ray White, our community partner and major sponsor of the podcast. And also a reminder, if you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, Oakley Cricket Club. Give us a like or a comment. Or if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give us a rating, give us a comment, give us a download. It's all very much appreciated. And as you'll see on the screen shortly, you can follow us on all of our socials. Here at the Oakley Career Club. So thank you again, gents. This has been the Mighty Oaks podcast. We'll see you next time.